first. Three of the life groups are starting doing something a little different this week. The one that I lead is going to be doing the Book of Revelation. And so if that's interesting to you, we would love for you to come and be with us. Bring someone. That'll be good. Doug Akers' life group is starting on the... what's the name of the book? No, it's not about that. Purpose-driven life. And Don's group is they're beginning to do some planning for the seniors. So we wanted to just share that with you. Also, next week, Ron Gray will be with us. He's an old friend, an evangelist. He does a great job when he comes, and he ministers to people. And so I just want you to know that and be praying and bring someone to that, especially if they're not saved, and quite possibly they will be. And then one more thing. Oh, and on the 17th of this month, we're going to be having the Newcomers Banquet. So if that's something that would interest you, we would love for you to come and be with us to the Newcomers Banquet. If you've been coming as of recent days and haven't been to that, then we sure would love for you to come and be with us. So that's that. Well, we're talking about our dream, and I'm glad you're here today. I really am. I just welcome you to LifeGate. And people that will hear this tape and see this video or whatever, we offer an invitation for you to come and be with us as well. And just a great place to come, isn't it? And have fun and enjoy the Lord and enjoy God's people. I just love coming. I just look forward to it all week long to see you. In the dream series that we're doing, it's called The Dream, and today's lesson we're calling Maintaining the Dream. So just wanted you to see where we're going today. It's more, I could even call it balancing the dream, but it's maintaining the dream. How many of you have ever noticed someone who may have gotten really close to their dream and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out? Something happened in their life. Something happened towards their dream. The things went south. Things went sour. And don't know really why, it just all of a sudden fell apart. Well, there's a reason, and I want to kind of talk about that today and look at that today and see if we can see how once we start entering into the area of our dream, how we maintain that and keep it going and keep it prospering. Well, let's pray. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and I'll pray while you're turning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the tremendous spirit that we've already sensed and felt and for a place called LifeGate. Thank you for letting us do church the way you let us do it. Thank you for allowing us to step out there, be different, try things and do things. Thank you, Lord, for letting us use everything to reach people. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray today now as we look into this that you will help us see not only what our dream may be, but also, Lord, how to bring that dream into fruition and to maintain it, keep it going. Father, I ask you to help us. I ask you, Lord, to open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit's saying. But Father, I ask you also to help me say just what needs to be said, so that the hearts can hear what you want said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this: In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on church people. Is that right? You're looking at me funny. Is that what it says? What does it say? What is it going to pour out? It's going to pour out his spirit. God's going to have a spiritual connection with every person. We need to understand that. There is the Spirit even on the lost. That's what really draws them to God, because no man can come to Jesus except the Father draws him. Am I right? Am I Bible? Yeah, sure I am. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, what I'm emphasizing today in the lesson is the spiritual aspects of the dream. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Something inside of every person desires to know God and desires to be successful. That's in every person. Your young men will see visions. If young people will get a handle on this at a young age, it becomes a vision for their life. And no matter what age you are, if you will just start looking, it can become a vision. But when you get around my age or something, you start looking back to see how well you've done your dream, if you've lived it. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, it kind of does away with the women can't preach thing, doesn't it? Even on my servants, both men and women, this is not gender specific, I will pour out my spirit, there again, in those days, and they will prophesy. See, God has promised to put into your heart, down in the core of your being, when you were formed in your mother's womb, a dream, a desire, a vision. But He's also promised to put into your heart, down in the very core of your being, down in the depths of you, He's also promised to put a spiritual connection where you can connect with God. He wants you to connect with Him. He has that down inside of every single person, a desire to succeed, but also a desire to pursue God. A desire to know Him. You're here today not because you're necessarily pursuing what your dream may be. You're here today because you're pursuing God. Am I correct? See, that's why you're mostly here today, is you want to know about God. You want to have a relationship with Him. And He puts that into everybody. Jesus said Himself that nobody can come to me except the Father draw him. Well, down inside of every single person is the Spirit of God that He wants to draw on. Now, I know it comes to life. I know what Ephesians says is that once you're born again, that you come to life and that which was dead is raised again. But God will take that and He'll draw a person with that. And inside of every person, there is a desire to know God. And it's when these two desires, it's when the desire of the natural unites with the desire of the spiritual, when the desire of your dream to succeed and to go on and do great things in for God and combines with the desire in your heart to know God, it's when these two things combine and come together that we begin to live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. It's when these two things unite that we get to experience the dream. Show you this in the Amplified Bible in John 10:10. It says this: the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, does He just want your spiritual life filling and overflowing, or does He want your natural life as well to be full and overflowing? No, He wants it balanced. He wants both to happen in our lives. He just doesn't want us to be spiritual giants. He also wants us to be good and doing well in the natural. You see, I'll show you in just a little while, this is really how He establishes His covenant in the land. It's when people really look at our lives and they see it's happy and spiritual and doing well and connecting with God in one hand, half of our life, and the other half of our life, we're really going on and being prosperous and doing well in the natural world as well. That's what they want. That's what people really want. That's what we all want, because down inside of us, God has put that there. And the only thing that will stop you from ever living your dream is when these two things don't unite. It's when we begin to pursue one more than the other. We don't understand the balance of God. And so to maintain our dream, we've got to maintain both. We've got to search for both. We've got to develop both. We've got to seek after both of these things. That's what happens. Now, I have seen people, and you have as well, And we can use Hollywood or those kinds of things as the example. But people seem sometimes to get so close to their dream, even living it. Living the abundant life. Man, having everything that they could possibly ask or seek after, it would appear. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out and life turns south. Let me use an example. Now, I know that this particular person that I'm going to use is out of our life flow today, but my generation, and most of us will relate to this individual. Marilyn Monroe, in her days, in the 50s and 60s, was a prime actress. I mean, she went to the top of her field. She was the actress. She was numero uno. She was at the top. Now, you may not know about her life. You see, she was really living a dream. She was born out of wedlock. Her parents weren't married. Don't even know who her father really was. She was raised in foster homes. Thank God for foster homes. She was raised in orphanages. Thank God for orphanages. But through this experience, she really came to know Jesus Christ. She had a real spiritual encounter when she was a young woman. And as she was working in a factory one day, a photographer noticed her, how beautiful she was. And he took her and he began to photograph her. And the next thing you know, she's escalating in her profession. And she goes right to the very top of her acting career. She is the most desired, most beautiful projected woman in the whole world. And it seemed that she had achieved and she had acquired. But then all of a sudden, life goes south. She's trying to find fulfillment within. She's lost the really relationship that she once had with Jesus Christ, because all of a sudden, she's only pursuing one aspect of her life. All of a sudden, she just goes through men after men, man after man after man, and has these terrible relationships, and she turns to drugs and all sorts of things. And at age 36, she commits suicide. At the very top in one dimension, but miserable and void in the other. Now, another example would be Elvis Presley. Very top. And at one time, a very spiritual man who had a real relationship, and you saw his career go up and up, and all of a sudden, he begins to look to one and not maintain the other, and all of a sudden, life goes south. And again, he overdoses and dies at a young age. I wanted to say something that would relate to some of you young people, so I just typed in a web search and typed in rock star suicides, and I was astounded at what came up. Do you know that the average age of a rock star is 36.9? Do you know why? They get on drugs, they mess their bodies up, they commit suicide. Why? They go to the top. And most of those people get their start right in church. Most of those people get their start just like our people do. They play the instruments and do something, and the next thing you know is they're at the top of their field, they're out there in the world, and they're doing really well, they're chasing their dream, but they're not maintaining the other side of this thing, and all of a sudden life goes south, and they commit suicide, or get killed in a car crash, or overdose, heart attacks, catch AIDS. All of these things were what I was seeing. I have some names here. I don't know. I don't relate to them. I don't know them. But Nick Acklin, all of these were in the 90s. Nick Acklin, at age 30, committed suicide. Kurt Cobain, age 27. Huh? Cobain. Well, you know who that is. Matthew Fletcher, age 26. I don't know these people, but obviously some of you do. And all of these were at the very top of their field. And then all of a sudden, life goes south. And what happens in their life is that they don't maintain their dream. They don't know how to maintain it. So this is what I'm really after today. Once we start pursuing the dream, and once we start chasing it and even touching it and feeling it and living it, how do we maintain it so that it doesn't go south on us? Jesus told a parable about a guy who was so successful that he had to build bigger barns. His success and his wealth was so great that he said, I got to build bigger barns to put all my stuff in. And he did, and he built bigger barns. But here's what Jesus said to this guy. Look at this in Luke 12:20. He says, but God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Man, look at this. And is not rich towards God. Now, was there anything wrong with his prosperity? Was there anything wrong with him building bigger barns and having great success? Was there anything wrong with that? No. What was the problem? He didn't balance. He was rich in one area, but he was poor toward God in the other. And see, what the Lord is saying to you and me concerning this dream thing is, he says, I want you to prosper over here, but don't forget about this. Because if you really want this to succeed, you're going to have to bring this up as well. And you keep these things balanced in our lives. And we go on and we continually prosper and go on in God. The Bible tells us a story about King Saul. Now, King Saul was the very first king of all of Israel. And he was raised in a very wealthy family, a very good family, a family that was of great success, the Bible tells us. He was a very influential person. I'm sure he went to the best schools and was prepared to do the very best in life that he possibly could. And as we start reading about him, he was a very imposing individual. He was a very dignified appearing young man. And the Bible says this of Saul in 1 Samuel 9:2. It says, Saul, an impressive young man, without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others. See, and one day Saul was appointed by God to be king of Israel. And he was living his dream. Now, God took this guy from a man who could not find his daddy's donkeys and put him in a palace. You see, that's what God will do for us. But what's interesting, as I began to look at Saul, I began to see as he began doing this, he had such great success, such tremendous success as he began to rule over Israel. Let me show you this passage in 1 Samuel 14:47. After Saul had assumed rule over Israel, he fought against their enemies on every side. Moab, the Ammonites, Edom, the king of Zobah, and the Philistines. Wherever he turned, he inflicted punishment on them. Now, all of these people were coming at Israel and plundering Israel. Well, all of a sudden, because of Saul, they start turning this thing around and they start plundering all these people that have been plundering them. All of a sudden, Saul and the nation become wealthy. All of a sudden, they start gaining wealth because of Saul. And what was interesting to me at this time is he was developing both aspects. He wasn't only seeking it at this particular point in his life. He wasn't only seeking the plunder. He wasn't only seeking the wealth. He was also developing the other part of his being as well. And the Bible tells us about this in 1 Samuel 10:10. It says, when they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him. God says, I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. So what God was doing at that time, and what Saul was allowing to be done in his life, was that both sides were developing. He was allowing, and remember, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh and all people, and they'll prophesy. See, he was speaking. He was prophesying. What do you think they were prophesying about? These prophets, this school of prophets. Don't you think they were prophesying about their success, about how Israel was going to be victorious, and how, and they began prophesying these things. And I want to just mention this right here while I'm on this point. The prophetic spirit inside of you is not just to speak to somebody else. It's to speak to your life. See, so that you can live your dream and you can see your vision come to pass. So Saul was with these prophets, and they began to prophesy, and you begin to see all this stuff happen, and just all this great success that Saul was having. Then all of a sudden, life turns south for Saul. All of a sudden, things start going badly. You know what happened? He got out of balance. He kept pursuing the plunder and the wealth, but not pursuing the relationship with God. And all of a sudden, life went sour. God says, Saul, I got this job I want you to do. I want you to go over here and totally wipe out this nation. I want you to kill everything. Every cow, every cat, every dog, everything. I want it all gone. Well, Saul went over there and he kept the best for himself. He kept the plunder. He kept what he wanted and didn't do what God told him to do. Well, God says, what I'm going to do then is, because you're not going to do this, you're separating yourself from me, then I'm going to separate myself from you. I'm not going to have someone like that lead my people. And you know what happened? Saul's life really turned south. He got away from God's people. Samuel wouldn't even go see him any longer. The next thing you know, Saul's life goes south. And things start going badly for Saul. He turned to witches. Started seeking divination. He turned to his plunder. Stayed away from spiritual people. And all of a sudden, God says this about him. He becomes very depressed. In 1 Samuel 15:19, the prophet Samuel comes to him and he says, why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? So all of a sudden, plunder became what he was really after. And he got out of balance in his life. And then in 1 Samuel 16:14, it says this, but the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. See, this very spiritual person left his spiritual life. The Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and instead the Lord had sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Now, that's an interesting verse, isn't it? The Lord sent a spirit that filled him with depression and fear. See, depression is to the soul what pain is to the body. When your body hurts, what your body is doing is telling you, I need attention. We need to look at this, and we need to look at this quickly. When I hurt, you immediately, when something, you slam your finger with a hammer, you immediately give that thing attention, don't you? I mean, it tells you, hey, I am hurting here. And if you have, people have heart attacks, they immediately know something's wrong. Pain is to tell your body that it needs attention. Well, what depression is what depression does to us is tells our soul needs attention. When you get depressed, or I get depressed, or anyone gets depressed, it simply means that we have backed off in our spiritual life. You cannot be depressed and have the right relationship with Jesus Christ that you should be having. If you're a depressed person, then the problem is you've backed off in that relationship. You're seeking other things rather than seeking the spiritual renewal and spiritual development in Jesus Christ that you need to be seeking. And depression comes. Now, God loves us. He makes our body so that it tells us when it's hurting, so that we'll take some care for it. He gives us depression in our soul so that we will seek attention for that as well. He's interested in both parts of us. He will send a depressing thing on you to let you know, hey, you're getting away from me. You need to work on this. You need to fix this. And the first thing that we need to realize when we start getting depressed is that, hey, I need to shore up. David would do this. David talks about it in the Psalms. And he would talk to his own soul. He says, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. David would stir himself up. And that's what we've got to learn how to do. And when we become depressed, well, Saul became depressed and man's life went south on him. He didn't go, he didn't stir himself up. He didn't fix that thing. He just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, he committed suicide. What was so horrible about Saul's situation is what the effect that it had on his heritage. See, Jonathan was a very good man. The Bible speaks very well of Jonathan, his son. But because of Saul's lack and slackness in his spiritual development, Jonathan died. See, we never realize what affects what we're doing as pursuing our dream, or not pursuing our dream, or keeping balance in our lives has upon our children. It has a tremendous effect. You see, God wants us to develop both. God wants you and me to have a life that is equally balanced. God wants us not only to pursue the natural, but also pursue the spiritual and keep our lives. And if we will, then we'll continue to grow and prosper. I want to show you this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says in Deuteronomy 8, 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord." I want to notice the balance here. "Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, and so confirm His covenant." Now, first of all, I want to notice the balance in that scripture. Look, he says, I want you to remember the Lord, and if you will, then I'll give you the power to get wealth. He wants both developed. Do you see this? He wants both developed so that He can confirm His covenant. Now, what does that mean? When people look at our lives and they see us spiritual people, they see us coming to church, they see us clapping our hands and shouting and talking in tongues and prophesying, but then they look at the, as they begin to look at our lives a little closer, they find out that we've bankrupt, that we're a mess in our finances, that our homes and our families are all messed up. That's not attractive to them. But if they see us confirming His covenant, if they see us really seeking after God on one hand and the joy of the Lord and all these good things happening in our marriages and all these other things in our spiritual life doing really, really well, that's an attraction to them. And as they look closer at our lives, they see the other part doing as well also. Well, people want that. And that begins to confirm His covenant in people. People come and they want that. And they look at our lives, see, God wants us to have a life that is so projecting and so bright. We're the light of the world, right? We're the salt of the earth. And He wants us to be able to project to people what His covenant really is. It confirms His covenant. God wants both in our lives. God wants us to have a life that is developing well in abundance and external things, but He also wants us to make certain that we develop the other as well. God says, I want balance in your life. I want balance in your life. Now, the opposite is just as true. And this, what I'm about to talk about, probably speaks to more of us than did the other. You can be spiritually wealthy, doing very, very well in the spirit, having a great relationship with Jesus and going on in this, but yet feel in the natural that you're a failure, that you've never succeeded in the natural the way that you want and desire to succeed, the way that thing down deep inside of you calls and pulls on you to have success. Oh, you're spiritual. You go to church every week, you give your tithes, you pray, you're really seeking the Lord, you hear? But then all of a sudden you look on the other side of your life and it's just not what you want. It's not where you feel like you ought to be. See, the Bible tells us a story about Jacob. Jacob was like this. Jacob had this fantastic relationship with God. I mean, it was a fabulous spiritual life. This guy would have dreams of angels, talk to God, wrestle with angels. He had a fabulous spiritual life. But he never was successful in the natural the way he wanted to be. He never was able to. He would trick, he would scheme, he would try to trick people to try to be successful in that area of his life, but it never worked. Now, his spiritual life was fabulous. Let me show you this in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 12. It says here, "And he dreamed." Isn't that interesting? "And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said." Now that's a pretty good spiritual life, wouldn't you think? Huh? You're seeing angels, God's talking to you, you're talking to God, you're making these covenants with God, you're having a tremendous spiritual life. But when you look at the other side of your life, you're not successful. I say God wants both to be successful. Now understand what I'm trying to project to us. God wants us to be successful in both areas. And it wasn't until Jacob learned how to reach into the where he was wealthy in the spirit dimension and began to pull on that and to learn from that, that his other side, the natural side, developed and came up to where he felt successful in life. I want to talk about that a little bit later. I want to talk about why that is. Why is it that what happened to Jacob so that he really turned his life around and began to prosper in both sides of his life? We'll finish up with that as we stop talking in just a little while. But God wants balance in our life. God wants you to be balanced. He wants you to do very, very well, have the abundant life till it overflows, but He also wants you to develop your spiritual life as well. And as long as you'll do that, man, you just keep going on and on and on in God. In 3 John verse chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things," look at this now, the balance, "thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Do you see the balance? Do you see what God really wants in our lives? He wants our soul to prosper, but at the same time, He wants us to prosper and be in good health. He wants us to be wealthy and be in good health, but at the same time, He wants our soul to prosper. Now, make sure you're hearing me right. Which of those two are the most important? Your soul avenue. Sure it is. Please hear me correctly. You know, I'm not just preaching this wealth message, but I think you got to be both. I think that what God really wants in our lives are both areas to be going very, very well and continue to climb and get better and better and better. You see, David was this way. David was this way in his walk with God. David was a very young boy, but he had a very spiritual relationship with God. He would be just as a young boy out in the fields keeping his sheep, you know, and singing songs to the Lord, writing psalms. He had a very deep relationship with the Lord, a very spiritual young man. And then as that progressed, God took him and took his dream that he put into his heart to be king of Israel and combined these two. Now, as you think about David's life, as long as David did both of these, both continued to excel. Both continued to go up and up and up. The Bible tells us about David and his spiritual success and how he loved to praise God and dance before the Lord. In 2 Samuel 6, 14 and 15, it says this, "And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet." Not only did David do it, but he was contagious and he was evangelistic with it. He got other people doing it as well. He had this relationship with the Lord in the spiritual dimension of the core of his heart that kept going higher and higher. He wanted more and more of God. And then in 2 Samuel 7, 1, just a little bit further down in that same chapter, it says, "After the king was settled in his palace." See, God wants us to have good things. "After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him." See, God wants you to have rest. He wants you to have good things. But He wants you to develop both. And as you think about David's life, you realize that as he did both, as he developed both, his life continued to accelerate and go on and get better and better and better. But if he ever let one down and he began to seek after the things more than he began to seek after God, you would see life go south for David. You would see things like Bathsheba happen. You would see things like Absalom happen. You would see negative things start happening in his life. And he would become depressed. And then he would reach down, realize that, and stir himself up. He would say, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." He would stir himself up. The Bible would talk about how David would keep his soul part always stirred up when he would experience depression. You read the Psalms, and it tells you about him being depressed. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the Psalm, though, he's realized it and he's fixed it. And that's what the Lord wants you and I to do. See, depression, when it comes upon us, depression means something's going wacko in our lives. It means that things aren't accelerating as they should, and we need to give some attention and maintenance to keep our dream going on. God wants us to have both. God wants us to experience both. Now, I haven't got a lot of time left, so I want to give you three things that will keep you in balance, that will ensure, hear what I'm saying, ensure that both of these continue up, that you won't just start seeking after one and let the other one decrease, or you won't just let one go up and never increase the wealth aspect. Always keep both going up. I want to give you three things real quickly that I think will guarantee to you or ensure you that you will maintain your dream and keep it always going. I hope you write them down, at least get the tape or something, because I think they're that impacting. And the first thing that I want to tell you about is to write the dream. Write it. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, "And the Lord said unto me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." Now the part that I really want to emphasize in that verse is write the vision and make it plain. Make it plain. Make it clear. Be specific. Then in look at some other translations or whatever these may be. In the Living Bible, it says, "And the Lord said to me, write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance. Don't be ashamed of your dream." Put it on the wall. Hang it on your rearview mirror. Put it out there so that everybody can see it, and you have to explain it to people. Put it on a billboard. You know, put it out there so that everyone understands what you're really about in life and what you're pursuing. And then the Message Bible says this, and then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters. And here's the part I want to emphasize on this one, so that it can be read on the run. How many of you sometimes find life is running? I mean, you seem like you're in a race. You get up out of bed and you're racing to get to work on time. And man, when you get to our school on time, and when you get to school, you're racing back home to get something else done. And then you got to race to church, and you got to race to here, and life is running lots of times. Well, see, if you write your dream and you put it on a billboard in a place of prominence in your life where it's always sitting there and you have to see it consistently and all the time, then all of a sudden it maintains itself. You're always thinking about your dream. But the main part here is when you write this thing, something supernatural happens. Something supernatural takes place when we take the time to sit down and write our dream. In 1983, Judy and I lived in Griffin. We were a young couple. We had two children. Well, we weren't that young of a couple any longer, but we were still in Griffin, and we were heavily in debt. And we had a son that was just about ready to go to college, but we had no money to send him, and we were in debt. Now, we were purchasing a house, and we had some equity built in this house, so I feel like God gave us a plan. And the plan was basically this, to sell the house that we were in, take the equity, and then debt-free, build another house, and pay off all of our bills. Now, that shouldn't have worked out that way. There shouldn't have been enough money from the equity that we got to pay off all of our bills and build a brand new house, a larger house, debt-free. So I wanted a supernatural intervention of the Lord. So I did, and I wrote my dreams. And I was writing a lot of my prayers and things back then. And here's my prayer book. And I read it sometimes, and it's amazing to me to see how God moved in these things that I wrote. But anyway, I wrote the dream in May the 7th, 1983. And I wrote it out specifically and explained what I felt like the Lord had told me to do. And I put scriptures with it. And this is what I want to make sure you see. Add scriptures to your dream. Justify your dream, and I'm going to talk about that one next. But put scriptures in there. Psalms 119, 105, Psalms 27, 11, James 1, 5, and on and on. And I put scriptures in there. Judy and I anointed this thing with oil. There's the little oil spot right there. We laid hands on it, and we prayed. 1 year later. Sarah, 1 year from now, you can hold Isaac. 1 year later, we were living in a brand new house, a larger house, totally paid for, and we were out of debt. And our son went to college. Now, I'm telling you, this works. You can maintain your dream. Now, writing it out, specific things happen. You'll get specific. You'll have to put it in words. You'll have to get clear with it. You'll have to be able to begin to really see it. And as you write it, you're being more specific. And you're not just shooting it out there like a shotgun. You're being more specific with what you're wanting to see God do in your life. And it helps you balance your dream because you see your dependency upon God to pull it off. And if your dream isn't something that you need God to help you with, then it's not a dream. It's not the dream that God wants. What God will give you as His dream is something you can't do by yourself. You got to have God. And as you begin to see it happening, you'll see your dependency upon God, and it maintains both of these levels. So that's the first one. The second one is you need to see the dream. See it. You got to see it. And I want you to think about this. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our thoughts about ourselves determine whether we're successful or not successful. As you think in your heart, that's how you really are. So if things aren't where you need to be, you need to change how you think in your heart. Seeing your dream. Seeing yourself living your dream. See yourself doing what you want to do, dream to do. See it. Lift up your eyes and begin to look at that thing in the spiritual dimension, because as you see it, it will happen. A used car salesman or a new car salesman, it doesn't matter. Say we went down to the dealerships here in town and we wanted to buy us a brand new car, but we didn't have enough money to buy a car. Yeah. So we go down there, but if that dealer can get you in that car, driving that car, you'll figure a way to pay for it. If at all possible. He knows that the chances of you purchasing that car, once you've gotten in that car and driven that car, the chances of you purchasing that car tremendously escalate. What I'm trying to tell you is learn to drive your dream. Learn to take your dream into the spiritual dimension and get inside of it and live it. Now, I told you I was going to talk about Jacob just a little bit more, and here's where I want to do that. There's just this fantastic story. It's always amazed me once I saw it, how Jacob took his life. And again, he was a very spiritual person in the spiritual dimension, but not successful in the other until he did this, until he began to see himself living his dream. What had happened is Jacob had worked for his uncle Laban for 14 years, and time had come for him to move on. He wanted to go live his dream and not just help Laban have his dream. So he wanted to go live his dream, did Jacob? So what he did is he began to make plans to leave. Well, Laban didn't want him to leave because as long as Jacob was there, Laban was blessed. So he says, okay, Jacob, let's make a deal. He says, here's the deal. Every animal that is born rake, straw, speckled, and spotted, you can have them. That'll be your wages. But all the solid ones will be mine. In other words, everything that wasn't solid would go to Jacob. Well, obviously, Laban did this because at that time, everything must have been solid colors. So anyway, Jacob had this idea, it appears. So he took sticks, he took branches of trees, and he scraped them and peeled the bark off of them, put those sticks into the watering troughs and around where the animals would feed and water. And as they saw that and they mated, then the offspring came out rake, straw, speckled, and spotted. Now, I don't know that that's ever happened before. And I don't know that that's ever happened since. You see, it's a supernatural thing. And what you need for your dream to happen is a supernatural thing. And all of it, that was always amazing to me. Well, why does it work today? Because that was Jacob's dream. And what God did for Jacob was show Jacob what to do with his dream. And when you start seeing your dream and writing your dream, then all of a sudden God will start telling you what to do to make your dream come true. Amen? Now it was interesting to me because I said, where did he come up with it? Where did he get that idea? Well, in chapter 32 of Genesis, Jacob tells his wives how all this came to be. He tells Leah and Rachel. And I want to read you this passage in Genesis 31:10. In breeding season, I once had a dream. This guy, he's always having these dreams and these visions. He had this spiritual thing going on. I had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, and spotted. The angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. He said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, and spotted. See, Jacob saw it. Jacob visioned it. He saw himself living his dream. Now, why was that necessary? Why couldn't God just make all those animals come out that way? Because this is what Jacob needed to do to activate, it was the key, to activate the supernatural aspects of God moving in his life. And as he looked up and saw it, he became it. You with me? As he looked up and saw himself living his dream took place. And as you start writing this thing, as you start seeing yourself living this thing, it will come because as you think in your heart, so are you. What you do is you start doing this, you start painting your heart. You start painting the picture in your heart and you add brushstroke and you add fine tuning to it and you'll make it specific. And as you write it and as you start seeing it, then it becomes more and more specific in your life. And the next thing you know is you're living it. Lift up now your eyes and see it. And then the third thing that I want to talk about that is necessary to maintain your dream is speak to the dream and to the obstacles. Speak to the dream and the obstacles that stop the dream from happening. Now, words are so powerful. Words are, and we've just did the series on the power of words, but words are so powerful. Words will justify your dream, or words will condemn your dream. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, says this, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You need to justify your dream by the Word of God. You need to find scriptures that you can speak to your dream. For example, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that my God's given me the power to make wealth. Psalms chapter 1 says that everything I put my hand to is going to succeed. You say to it, 1 John 3:2, that God desires that I prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. And you start putting scriptures to your dream. You start putting scriptures with it. And you start speaking the word to it. You justify your dream by your words. You make it happen by putting the word of God to it. And at the word of God, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus, when you start speaking the word of God, it's got to obey. So put word to it. Justify it. And then also speak to the obstacles. Now, this is interesting because you know, Jesus talked to lots of things. He would talk to trees, and he would talk to wind and waves, and you know, and he told us to do the same thing. See, you got to learn to speak to the obstacles that are going to stop your dream. The enemy is going to make sure that you have obstacles, mountains, that you've got to change. You've got to move them. And he says this, Jesus did, in Mark 11:23, I tell you the truth. Now, I want to stop there just a second. Is Jesus tricking us here? Huh? Is he telling a joke? Huh? What he says is a little weird, okay? You got to get. I like it that he says this, because he's going to tell us to talk to mountains. And he says, "I tell you the truth." Is he telling us the truth? He says, "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourselves into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, look at this, it will be done for him." You have to learn not only to speak to the dream, but to speak to the obstacles that you have. I was telling you about that house that we built down there. I would run into obstacles, and I would walk through that place as I'd walk on the property initially before we even built the house, and I would prophesy to that prophecy, there will be a house sitting right here. And as that house began to come up, I would go over there in the daytime and I would walk through that thing, and with walls, just nothing but stud walls, I'd walk around and I'd start prophesying exterior and interior walls. I would start prophesying plumbing and electricity. I would start prophesying carpet on the floor, and it all happened. I began to see it. I began to speak to it. And any obstacle that came up, I would speak to it. And as you start speaking to your dream, it will happen. I walk in here nearly every day and I speak to this place. I speak to it. I speak to this region. I speak to it. And it's happening. We're going to continue to happen too, because I'm going to continue to speak. So you do as well. Now on your dream, you learn how to speak to it. And as you begin to speak to that thing, it's going to obey you. It's going to have to obey you. It's going to have to come into line with what you want happening in your life. I loved what David did, and I've shared this part of the story before, or this story before with you. I love what David did when he had this dream to be king of Israel, and he was just a boy. And there was this mountain of a man named Goliath that was standing in the way of his dream. And that thing had to come down. That mountain had to move. And I love what David did. David walked out there and he spoke to that thing. Here's what David said to that mountain of a man. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down." Now you got to get the picture. Here is this 10-foot man talking to this boy, and this boy is telling this 10-foot man, who is a warrior, "You're coming down. God's going to give me to you. I am today going to take your head off. Today," he said, "I will give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Well, hallelujah. Now listen, David didn't think those things. David declared those things with confidence. I mean, I hear his voice accelerate. "You know, here, big boy, you're coming down. I'm going to cut your head off." Now, everybody had to be laughing, wouldn't you think? But what happened? Did that Philistine come down? Did David cut his head off? Were the Philistine carcasses fed to the fowls of the air that day? It happened. And see, if you'll do those three things, if you'll start seeking after God in those dimensions, realize, and I want to encourage you today, God has put inside of you a dream to live. He wants you to live this dream. He wants you to prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. He wants both avenues of your life tremendously blessed and tremendously, tremendously prospering. He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to have good things. He also wants you to keep maintaining your spiritual life, because if you maintain your spiritual life, then you'll just keep on going and going and going. You'll be like the Energizer Bunny. There is just no stopping you. You can keep on having whatever that you want and whatever you ask for, because eye has not seen and ear has not heard, either has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for you, right? And that's what God wants to do in your life, and He wants those things happening in your life. Start doing those three things. You learn to write your dream. Sit down, get specific with that thing. You write it. You put it in a prominent place so that even on the run you get to read it. You write it down. You get specific. You put scriptures with it. That'll keep you balanced. You'll understand your dependency upon God for it to ever happen. And you'll never slack off in one. You'll always keep both going and going and going and going. So learn to write your dream. Also learn to see your dream. Lift up now your eyes and see, because as you think in your heart, that's what you really are. And so if your life's not where you want it to be, then start thinking where you want it to be. Because that will change your life. And where you come, then it'll all of a sudden start happening. And you'll start living and walking and being in your dream because you begin to think it in your heart. And then speak to the dream. You speak to the dream and you speak to the obstacles of the dream. And you move those things. Jesus said you could. And He says if you'll do it, it'll happen. Amen? How many here want to pursue their dream today? How many have I got looking for their dream? Want to give the Lord a hand and shout to the Lord. Amen. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. If you ever find yourself depressed, or someone that is depressed, realize, just like David, what I've got to do is I've got to stir myself up. I've got to hook up back up with God. I've got to get this part of my life right. Your soul is hurting, and it's saying I need some attention. But God wants us to have good health. He wants us to have good wealth. He wants us to have prosperity. He wants us to be abundant in every area until it overflows in our lives. Well, we never like to end the service without giving people the opportunity to get prayed for. So maybe you don't know Jesus, and so we're always going to always pray the prayer that will helpfully bring someone into its initial step. Or maybe that someone's gotten away from the Lord and they need to come back. They need to get back right with God. So we always want to pray that prayer. And it's always good, for us to pray it as well, don't you? I think it's a good thing to consistently declare that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. And then after we've done that, then we'll pray for others as well. But let's all pray together today that Jesus comes into our heart and restores us and draws us into His kingdom. So pray after me, if you will, just as loud as you will. Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. Lead me and guide me. Restore me. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, if that happened, something took place. If you meant it in your heart, then something took place in your life. Now, something may be going on. Maybe it's touching this area of the dream. And you see, we're all living in one of those two places. Either we're feeling prosperous on one dimension and we're well off financially, but our spiritual life is depreciated. Or, as I think and most people in church feel, that their spiritual life is well, but they're not living the prosperity in the natural. So whatever that may be going on in your life, perhaps you'd like to pray about that. Well, let's do it right now. Maybe you're sick in your body. We can lay hands on you. God will touch and do something in your life. Maybe something's going crazy with a job or family or children or parents. We want to pray about anything. Your cat got lost and you don't want it to come home. So let's pray. Let's pray whatever you need to pray about. I heard a joke. Let's pray. This is a serious moment. Let's pray. Father, we just commit this moment to You now, Lord. There are people here that are sick in their body. They need You to touch them. And I ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Father, there are people here that want to live their dream. Lord, I ask You to help them. Father, there are people here that are having financial problems or marital problems or problems in their homes. Father, I ask You in Jesus' name to touch them. Lord, show Your mighty power. Lord, if You can use anything, You can use us right now to minister to Your people. And we ask You in Jesus' name to do it. Amen. Amen. Whatever that you're needing, would you be coming now? Let's pray for you.
and with our voices sing. We bow before our Savior and Lord, and honor to the King, and we sing Alleluia to the Son, Amen. We will worship you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. We give you all our praises, and through your gates entering, we all proclaim your holy name. The celebration begins, and we sing Alleluia to the Son, Amen. We will worship you, worthy is the Lamb. We sing Alleluia to the Son of Man. We will worship you, Lord. Worthy the Lamb. We will worship you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Thank you.
by now, we ought to all pretty well know the mission that is our mission statement. So I'm going to try a little differently today. Let's all just say it together. Can you stand with me and let's say it together today? We will start with the words that aren't on the banner. We are. And then we'll read the rest of the banner. Okay? Ready? Let's go. We are LifeGate Church. We are reaching people and making them devoted followers of Christ. Amen.
Finding life, finding peace, finding strength to believe that together we can change the world. Finding hope, finding love, finding grace from above, and together we can change the world. For the kingdom of God is the good news, and Jesus sits upon the throne. Finding life, finding peace, finding strength to believe that together we can change the world. And together we can change the world. Yes, together we can change the world.
Amen.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, that together we can change the world. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Terry that song so that we can every week sing that and it can go into our spirits and we can draw confidence from that, Lord. And so now I pray that this people this week will have your favor all upon them, Lord, that wherever they go and whatever they do, they will change the circumstances around them and that they will have joy and peace that overflows in Jesus' name. Amen.